So the Buddha's teaching is essentially about one thing: suffering and an end to suffering. That's the whole of the teaching. That's what the Buddha's intention is. And then it's all about what causes suffering. And if you want to say it in one word, the Buddha said, uses a word called trisna, which means attachment or clinging. So in a sense, what we do when we sit is just a little piece of the Buddha's teaching. The Buddha made a point of saying that sitting by itself isn't adequate, because when he practiced, before he became so-called the Buddha, before his full awakening, he accomplished deep samadhi and able to be the realms of formlessness, the realms of no form, the realms of neither form nor formlessness. In other words, the Buddha developed these great capacities, and he decided this doesn't take care of what's most fundamental, which is in the midst of ongoing changing, the suffering that occurs in life, the harm that we do as a result of this, whether we call it suffering or call it dissatisfaction, the traditional term is dukkha. Dukkha is inherent in ongoing changing, in the fact that the universe is always changing. Inside, outside our bodies, that of others, is always changing in terms of cause and effect. And our practice isn't to escape that, even into deep samadhi or deep concentration or deep embodying of formlessness. That by itself isn't enough. So, in a sense, when we sit, it's wonderful if we can attain all sorts of deep states of calmness, of presence, of awareness. But that's just a little piece of our life. The real practice that the Buddha is teaching is the practice of all the day, in all the day functioning, all of our functioning during the day. So when the Buddha gives simple instruction in one of the sutras, he is approached by someone named Bahiya, who has walked across half the Indian subcontinent to come to the Buddha, and Buddha's out begging, and he comes over and says, "I want to ask you something." And the Buddha says, "This isn't the right time because I'm begging." And he says, "No, I have to ask it to you now." And he says, "But this is..." And then he says, "No, as you teach, life is impermanent. I'm uncertain if I'll even be alive in a little while. So I have to ask now for instruction." So the Buddha says to him, and this is in a sutra called the Bahiya Sutra. If I simplify it, the Buddha says, "When in seeing, just see. When in hearing, just hear. When in sensing, just sense. When in cognizing, just cognize. If..." And then he goes on to explain a little more. "If you don't add on to that, then that's the end of dukkha." Now, it's said that in a little while, this person, Bahiya, went off and practiced this, and then, as he predicted, he died due to some circumstance. And the Buddha instructed his disciples, "Please go take his body and give him the burial and the cremation the honors due to one who is completely awakened, because following those instructions, he completely attained. Now, those instructions are very simple. When in seeing something, just see. What we do, unfortunately, is we see things and we add on our stories about, I like it, I agree with it, I don't like it, it shouldn't happen, why did it happen? If we hear someone say something, we add on, I agree, I disagree, why now? Even when we think things, we could notice, and we notice that. That's one of the qualities that we develop as we sit. We begin to notice the thoughts, the emotion thought, if I use that word, that we add on to just being present. We're just being present, and a memory comes up, which is just cognizing, and then we think about it. Oh, I shouldn't have done that. He shouldn't have done that. What am I going to do about it? Why me? Etc., etc. And we do it throughout the day, which is why I say our practice isn't just sitting. Sitting, in a sense, allows us to have the capacity to be able to notice what goes on, so-called internally, so-called externally. To develop the capacity to have the strength to be present instead of being driven by our thoughts, instead of being entangled in our thoughts, to be able to see them arising and then, in a sense, to let go and be this moment, this, if I say it in a different way, experiencing. That's really the whole of the Buddha's teaching. And we can discover that during our days, if we're present, we could discover the times, one, we get entangled in things. We get an email and we go, I don't agree with that. Right there, we get entangled with our, I don't agree with that. Why is she sending me emails? I told her I didn't want to hear from her anymore. Oh, how could they say that on television, on wherever? How could they do that? Why do I hurt this much? My knees aren't supposed to be hurting. I'm only whatever. Or I took the medicine. So in a sense, the whole of practice is noticing when we, if I use the words, pick and choose, when we get caught in I like and I don't like. There's a famous, it's about 6th, 7th century China, set of verses which begins, the perfect way, or the perfection that is our life, or the awakened way, whichever way you translate to Chinese, is not difficult. It just refuses to pick and choose. It just refuses to hold on to likes and dislikes. If we don't hold on to likes and dislikes, then right there, everything is taken care of. But unfortunately, really what we have to do is keep noticing when we're holding on to our thoughts, I like, I don't like, I want, I don't want. And in one sense, when we sit, we begin to develop that capacity. And then we have to do that the rest of the day. When we're alone, when we're with others, when we do things. And we don't have to be, uptight about it, trying to make sure we catch everything, but just from time to time, notice the thoughts or the emotion thought that arises. And in noticing it, not to try to get rid of it, not to try to do anything about it, not to change it, or judge it, but simply to then use that to be this moment, to be embodied, if I say it that way, but not embodied just inside, but embodied inside, outside. In other words, be this experiencing that is life, that we don't have to do anything special to be experiencing. Each one of us is always experiencing, except that our experiencing gets entangled in our thoughts about experiencing. Excuse me. In our judgments about the experience. That's where the Bahia Sutra, the Buddha's instruction, when you see, just see. If you add on about that, thereby, therefore, there, then we get in trouble. But if we can just see, or notice when we're adding on, and then return, in a sense, to seeing, hearing, which doesn't take anything, doesn't take a particular effort. Experiencing is just our life. You, I, none of us have to do anything to experience. But when we entangle our experiencing into our, if I use a crude word, the attachments, the likes, dislikes, agreements, planning, future, past, then our experiencing is completely covered over in our likes and dislikes, and in what we add on to that and do about it, which creates entanglement, which creates suffering, which creates dreams about what should and shouldn't be, what would, etc., etc. So, in one sense, what I'm saying is sitting, meditation, whatever you call what your formal practice, is not a big deal. But in another sense, it's a very big deal, because it develops in us the capacity to carry it along throughout our day, into, in a sense, to forget ourselves in being the present moment, to forget ourselves in the midst of the experiencing that we are, or to forget ourselves so that we can be awakened by the events of this present moment. Okay, I've spoken enough, and now we could sit. So yes, please.